Hi, I'm Fred Schonenberg, and thank you for joining me on the Venture Fuel podcast. At Venture Fuel, we help companies find new solutions by partnering with the best startups from around the world. On the show, you'll learn the secrets of business leaders who tap into startups and the founders driving extraordinary results. We'll consider new ideas, stretch our mindsets beyond the status quo, and in the process, discover how to leap the competition and fuel personal growth. Grab an ice cold Stella Artois, because on today's show, we are going horse racing in the metaverse with Lindsay McInerney, the global head of technology and innovation at Anheuser-Busch InBev, and Mr. Roman Tarone, the global head of partnerships at Virtually Human Studios. They have collaborated on a first-to-market partnership on Zedrun, which is a virtual horse racing platform, which is the talk of the crypto world, where steeds are fetching six-figure sums. The partnership brings the iconic Stella brand front and center in the new virtual economy and places them atop all the NFT mania. For those of you just starting to dip your toes into NFTs and the metaverse, this is a masterclass in the opportunity of this emerging space, as well as guidance for how companies can show up in any new places in authentic ways. Also, for you corporate innovators out there, this is a case in how to push into the future to seize opportunities. So let's get after it. Lindsay, Roman, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, Fred.
Thank you. Thank you. Excited to be here.
So let's table set this, Lindsay. What is your role at ABI?
My role is to merge technology with, you know, one of the world's largest FMCG brands. So I'm typically looking to see how the world is changing and how we can leverage technology to, for our advantage inside the business.
Love it. And Roman, what is Virtually Human and Zedrun?
Yeah, that's a great question. Virtually Human Studios is a full stack NFT company that's behind the game Zedrun, which is an NFT horse racing game that's online that can be accessed on the Ethereum blockchain.
Love it. Okay, so Lindsay, I'll start with you. So how did this come together? Like, when I think of Stella, when I think of Anheuser-Busch, I don't immediately go into virtual horse racing. So can you give a quick overview of the partnership and maybe then we can talk about how it all came together?
Yeah, sure. So when I started thinking about ways that we can, you know, enter metaverse and do NFTs well, my thesis is that brands should appear in virtual worlds and in the NFT space the same way that they appear, or similar ways they appear in reality. So for example, we're not art dealers. You know, we're admirers of art. We show up where people are enjoying art, but we don't produce and distribute art. What we are, though, is the world's largest sponsor of sport, and we bring people together to be entertained. And so that led me down a path where I was looking for opportunity where we could parallel what we do in reality in metaverse. And in this space right now, there really is only one premium sporting platform, and that's Zedrun. So now you've got horse racing, premium sport, and we can get into the premium side of it in a second. But when I think about our suite of brands and our brand portfolio, that narrows it down to two. So I think I reached out to Roman and said, hey, in reality, we own stables and we have horses, right? So the Budweiser team have got Clydesdales. And in addition, we've got another brand, Stella, that sponsors the most premium horse race in the world. In reality, let's discuss how we could parallel this, you know, with Zed in metaverse and sort of bring that to life in a really new and novel way for consumers.
Roman, on your side, like you get this phone call from somebody at Stella Artois, like were you thinking about partnerships and how do you think about bringing a brand into, you know, a virtual world that you all are creating?
Yeah, absolutely. I was very excited to hear from Lindsay. I think that when you're dealing with brands, you know, in one sense, you want Virtually Human Studios, or what we want to be, is a lever for these brands to come into the metaverse. We're kind of a market validator in the space. We have a good kind of strong pulse of where the ecosystem is, and we've grown with it. So we understand really the value add that having ancillary parts of a massive business housed in the metaverse can bring to a big company. So when I spoke with Lindsay and when I speak to a lot of different brands, what makes Lindsay and AB InBev different is they have an innovator. And they have somebody who is understanding and is part of the community. So Lindsay, immediately we latched onto each other and we're like, this is kind of the perfect opportunity for us to leverage our kind of nuanced understanding of the metaverse into a big commercial partnership. So for me, working with Lindsay, it was more about figuring out how do we respect the community that we want to operate in so they don't see us as, you know, suits or a cash grab, and how do we, you know, bring the elegance of Stella Artois into the Zed universe in a way that's reflective of kind of our respect for everything that we, you know, on the brand asset side and also kind of the NFT ecosystem side. So it was definitely an exciting, exciting thing that we needed to really kind of start from scratch and figure out exactly where and how to execute.
So I love this. Let me unpack a little bit this need for authenticity, right? Because anytime you're in a new space or art even, right, there's this balance between commerce and the creator community. And want to understand how you all were able to balance that, right? Like I remember even, you know, we helped launch the Museum of Ice Cream, right? Which is a physical space years ago. And the brands that wanted to be there wanted to brand every room with their logos everywhere. And like the artists that created it were like, yeah, we want your name like in the bottom right corner. Like we want your check. We don't actually want to show your brand anywhere, right? So I think this is one of the great friction points. I would love to hear from you guys. And maybe Roman, let's start with you on like, how do you take a corporation and bring them in a way that is authentic to that community that powers your business?
It's a good question. And I think to answer it appropriately, we have to understand the dynamic that players of Zed Run have with the game and how stakeholders in an NFT ecosystem really operate with the game or the company that they're part of. And it's almost as if they are equity holders in the ecosystem. You know, we've moved from kind of a subscription basis where everything is being subscribified now to an equity holder basis in the NFT ecosystem. So when we have a magnitude of a brand like Stella Artois, Avi and Bev introduced into an ecosystem that hasn't really been dominated by corporate sponsors, it's a signal for what's possible in the future. And it gets the people very excited about where their stake has been placed within Zed Run, at least from what I've seen. I don't know if Lindsay, you'd also want to touch on that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think today we worked on our sponsorship directly with Zed. But in the future, as the Zed Run platform evolves, because of this concept of ownership, individual people own the Zed horses. Individual people will own tracks in Zed Run, and they own stables today. And because Zed have replicated genuinely every aspect of champion, real Rolex and champagne brands and other corporate brands are going to want to sponsor and be a part of that community and be seen where some of this exclusive racing is happening. And the people that they're going to be reaching out to in the future for some of this are going to be people who own horses and stables and tracks on Zed. So when you look at that as somebody who owns a horse in the platform today, and you go, holy wow, Stella have joined this community and validated this is a space for brands to play. I think, you know, the hope is that the Zed community understood this to be, you know, sort of like Roman saying, a signal that, you know, this is a huge space and it's one that's going to become even more premium for them as asset holders in the space. And I genuinely mean that, like a champagne brand will now reach out at some point, guaranteed, give it a couple, you know, a little bit of time here. They'll be reaching out to a holder of an amazing horse to say, we'd love to appear on this horse, next to this horse. We want to be sponsoring your stable. And that's a really cool thing for asset holders.
And for people that maybe aren't tracking on the NFT and maybe the underlying blockchain, right? And the idea of, can you give just like a 10-second step back of the fact that this is a ledger, right? So I buy a horse and the value here is like by bringing in someone like Stella, and tell me if I'm getting this all right, you bring in someone like Stella, all of a sudden, well, man, everything is elevated, right? So the horse that I had a week ago is now racing on a Stella track. So it's a little bit more premium and interesting. And if my horse happens to be pretty kick-ass, all of a sudden, someone might want to come sponsor or invest in my horse or buy my horse. So I have a return on the investment that I made initially. Am I sort of aligning?
Yeah, I think from my side, exactly. Imagine you own a horse, you bought it, you know, you bought it on the Zed platform. In a couple of years, somebody goes, I'll give you 10 grand a year, 20 grand a year, Fred, to race under this, to race your horse, but also use our brand. You know, I think for individuals, that's just going to be huge. Absolutely huge.
Okay. If you've made it this far, some of you may be thinking, wait a second, virtual horse racing? Does this thing have like scale? Is this a thing? Is this just something that's going by? Let me just read you the headline from the New York Times. This is May 1st, 2021. Digital horses are the talk of the crypto world. Horse racing meet NFT mania on Zedrun, the digital platform where some top steeds are fetching six-figure sums. The Kentucky Derby may be the best-known stakes race happening in the equestrian world this weekend, but it's hardly the only one. On Zedrun, a digital horse racing platform, several such events take place every hour, 7 days a week. Owners pay modest entry fees, usually between $2 and $15, to run their steeds against others for prize money. It is a great feature and quite a testament to how mainstream both NFTs, the metaverse, and Zedrun have gone. And this was right before Lindsay and our team brought Stella into the space. So definitely a space to watch and that has huge legs. Let's get back to the interview.
So both of you are pioneering in a space that is super early days, right? We mentioned blockchain, NFT, crypto, metaverse. Lindsay, I ripped this off your LinkedIn. You said there's no roadmap where we are going, a whole universe to be discovered and no turning back. So talk to me about, from your perspective, what the potential of the metaverse and NFTs are.
Yeah, I think we're moving very rapidly into an era of new internet, right? So it's three, and this is the spatial web, where in, you know, web one, you went to sort of seek out information that was published by others. Web two, we began to communicate via the internet, and Web3 is going to be about experiences. Things like the pandemic have no doubt accelerated this space the same way they have many other digital spheres, but you also have a convergence of a number of other technologies that are now catching up and just absolutely increasing the velocity. So you get, like, you know, 5G is rapidly developing, costs are coming down on things like VR headsets, AR headsets, which are also catching up. You've got contact lenses being developed. So you won't have to wear eyeglasses for augmented reality. They'll just be part of your, you know, your everyday makeup in a really seamless way. And blockchain and crypto, I think this past year especially, you've had more retail investors and, you know, average people getting involved in this space and projects being created that have allowed more people to become interested in this space. So it's just moving at an absolutely mega pace. And I believe that right now we're where we were like 17 years ago in social. And in a few years, you know, right now, nobody knows what to do with it. Most people don't know what's coming. Most brands don't get it yet. They will have to very quickly. And in another few years, you're going to have, metaverse crypto type teams inside of brands, the same way that you have social teams today, because it's a chance to see and be seen. There will be eyeballs, there will be visits, there will, you know, and so the same way every other channel, brands want to capture their audiences there. They want to do that here. But what's exciting about it is that there's much more opportunity to play with your audience and create really cool experiences that blend the physical and the digital and provide them opportunities to do things you could never do if you were just operating in reality.
I love it. And yeah, the storytelling capability here is so unique. I always think about it as, like, I remember I was in college at the time, but as the web sort of started jumping, it was, you know, hearing people talk about, like, should I even build a website? Like, is it worth it for my business? And then you fast forward, you know, 10 years from there, it's like, do I really need, like, a social handle? Like, is this Twitter thing going anywhere? Is Facebook going anywhere? And so I agree with you. I think we're sort of at the beginning, but to play devil's advocate, like, Roman, if somebody says to you, like, isn't this just Second Life? Like, just reimagined? Like, is this a fad or a trend? Like, how do you validate what the long-term potential is here?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think there is a misconception about, kind of, is this a fantasy world? Is what I'm partaking in really kind of an extension of the physical world, or is it kind of a path that's kind of fantasy? There's fantasy involved, and is there really value to what I'm doing? And I think what you have to look at in the metaverse is kind of the momentum it has and the collision course it's on for where we're headed as a society. So look at kind of the nicheification that you're seeing of all social groups around the United States and now into the world, where you have small groups operating in tribes, whether it be on TikTok that you're being targeted and fed, or whether you're being Twitter, and then onto NFTs. You have pockets of people who are passionate, whether it be about a specific stock, a specific cryptocurrency. And now you get into more of the NFT space, where you can have this vehement kind of passion for taking place in that cause with people, right? Into the digital space as an NFT. So, you know, the ownership capacity and the decentralization and obviously the transparency that comes with operating on an open ledger, the democratization of experience that is not only, you know, reserved for the elite in the physical world, but, you know, in the digital world, you'll be able to have experiences that, you know, only a select few were able to, whether it be horse ownership, whether it be team ownership in a professional sport, whether it be experiences at a concert venue. I think ultimately you'll see, you know, they say that great companies, you know, create what you didn't know you needed rather than what you want, where like the iPhone had come out. And I think that's the position we're in when the collision course between virtual and the physical, whether it be Apple's hardware, AR that's coming out in the next 5 years that we just, you know, we'll gloss over as a disruptor that we didn't really understand we needed. I think ultimately that's where we're positioned. When you look at land sales, asset sales, alternate investment sales are the highest they've ever been because people are a little bit worried about where their money is. And I think this is the perfect storm for where things are headed for the future. It's really exciting. Really exciting to think of where it can go.
Lindsay, a lot of our listeners are corporate innovators. What advice do you have for sparking innovation within, you know, a huge multinational corporation, right? Like, I can only imagine the conversations of, hey, I want to sponsor a horse race. Like that, I think everyone would be like, yeah, okay, like show me all the metrics. Like, oh, no, it's a virtual sports race. It's a track and it's horses. And, you know, there's a lot of complexity here and a lot of internal education, I would assume you had to do. Can you maybe give some advice or learnings for others that are excited to explore new things, but are maybe, you know, within that corporate environment?
Yeah, look, and I think we're still working through what that looks like at AB and Bev. I think, you know, whenever you go to approach these spaces, I think it's important to take a guide with you, right? Which means you need somebody who is crypto native, who understands technology deeply. And in this space right now, in many of the use cases where you can apply it, you need somebody who understands marketing too. And then, you know, for us, it was about finding that authentic entry point. We didn't know exactly how things were going to be received, but we felt like we had found an authentic entry point with Zed. And then when we began to speak with Zed, we were very comfortable to take feedback, right? They know their community better than us. So we could come in with this whopper killer brand idea, but if they don't think it's going to resonate or land with their audience, then, you know, we had to be really comfortable to push back. And I think that that's something everybody should take lessons from the social media era where there was, you know, gross mistakes by brands, you know, be led, find somebody internal, find somebody external who can help to guide you in the space and then listen to the partners that you're trying to launch with. Right now, my fear is for a lot of brands, it can be a bit of a race to the bottom. Everyone wants to enter the NFT space. They see it as very green field. You can turn nothing into something. And just because you can make an asset doesn't mean you should. And I think that, you know, those are some of the really, you know, really big caution points for brands.
And Roman, on your end, do you have any advice for, you know, there are a lot of startups that listen to the show as well, who are, you know, the reason for listening, right, is trying to figure out how to work with these large multinational corporates. So do you have any advice for folks that are out there innovating to think about how to partner up with a larger company?
It comes down to like three different factors. I think the first one is you want to look for the torchbearer. In this case, it's Lindsay, somebody who understands in the brand the value of the space, somebody that can lead you through kind of the caverns of these massive corporations and really, you know, get to the pot of gold, which we were able to. And I think part of that is a testament to Lindsay's tenacity and also kind of the big picture idea of what we're trying to achieve here. Number two is positioning yourself in a way where you add relevance. Because ultimately, many, many brands around the world are trying to achieve relevance. They want to stay relevant. They want to make sure that they're in the headlines, that they're in the forefront of doing something first, something innovative. So although maybe you don't bring in the size, well, we did very well revenue-wise, but if you don't bring in a shit ton of revenue for a company, but you're able to bring a massive amount of press, sometimes that takes priority for brands over, you know, the bottom line because they're seen as a thought leader. And then the third would be, just cast a wide net. You know, you want to be able to fashion your brand so it's malleable and you can make things work with what you're given, ultimately as a startup, right? You want to be able to take a punch and also keep moving. As long as you kind of are passionate about the product that you're providing, I think ultimately somebody will gravitate towards that. So for us, it ended up really working well. I do feel like it was match made in heaven or match made in novice earth. So for us, it's an exciting proposition. And for those starting out right now, I think it's such a dynamic way to kind of get into this NFT space. There's, the Delta is fertile with so many possibilities. So right now, as we speak, it's a razor thin moment to kind of get your NFT off the ground. And it's never been more exciting, I think.
It is really interesting to see that sort of like the Delta moment as you described it, right? I remember not too long ago, 2 months ago, a conversation internally around Clubhouse. And basically within 30 seconds of everyone sort of knowing they could get on it, there was this rush, right, to get out there and sort of ruin it. And I think one of the key things you all are doing a really good job of is protecting the authenticity of what you're creating and making sure, and I think both of you did a great job of this, is that the brands show up in a right way that's additive. And I think the fact that the metaverse is equity-based means that you are, you know, it's almost like having a fiduciary responsibility, right? Like you're trying to add value. So if it doesn't add value, you're not going to take it on. So I think it's really cool. And this is definitely a ripe moment for it. So let me ask you this, Roman, what is next for you all when you're looking out in what Zed looks like, I don't know, 6 months, a year from now, what are you most excited about?
I think we're most excited about elevating the experience for players, the mechanisms of gameplay being polished, the way we can continue to add value to our current stakeholders, and the creative ways we continue to innovate in the global market of esports, positioning ourselves as the first NFT esport, and beyond that, entertainment company, Virtually Human Studios, is going to continue to really push the envelope for not only Zed Run, but so many other different amazing projects. So for us, really, when you have, like, I can't even see what's happening next week right now. The fact, it's like, I've known Lindsay for like a month and I'm like, we go back 10 years. Like, I've known her for so long. So our roadmap is packed and it's really exciting. And I'm just excited to really start and continue to build.
Love it. And Lindsay, same question. Like, what is next for you, for ABI, Stella, whichever angle you want to take it in terms of how you guys are going to continue to explore this world?
Yeah, look, I think we've loved the success we've had with Zed. Roman and I have talked about a lot more interesting engagements that we can do there. And I'm really committed to figuring out how to bring those to life. And really, you know, like I said, we've loved the team, but, you know, also reflecting on other ways that we can bring this this metaverse to different brands that we have and different experiences that we have. So, you know, like I was saying, you know, future, we are the world's largest sponsor of sport, media, and entertainment. The future of sport, media, and entertainment is metaverse, is NFTs, it's co-owned, it's digital. And I think that there's a bucket load of opportunities that we're only touching the tip of the iceberg right now. And I'm really excited to see how many, you know, we can bring in an authentic way to the business.
I love it. Well, you guys, this was such a pleasure. It was great talking with both of you. Where do you want folks to go to learn more, whether it's about ABI, Zed, you guys individually? What is the best place to direct people that are interested in learning more about this?
They can go to zed.run to try out what it's like to race a virtual NFT racehorse of your own and have a good time. They can find me at Twitter. At zedrun is our Twitter. And then my Twitter is at Roman Tirone. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. And you can always reach out and DM me if you have any questions.
Likewise for me, I'm always happy to connect on Twitter. My last name's a bit of a tough one. So I guess hit the bottom of this podcast, but it's at the McInerney. So my last name. And, you know, also happy to connect on LinkedIn. I think this is super early days and it's always fun to conspire and hear how other people are thinking in the space. And I'd be more than happy to connect and have discussions about where it's going.
Awesome. Well, thank you both. This has been awesome.
Thanks so much for joining us today. And also just a quick thank you to all of you that have took the 20 to 30 seconds to write a review and share your thoughts on the podcast. It's very much appreciated. It's the way that people end up finding out about the podcast and understanding if it makes sense for them and what they're searching for. So very much appreciate that. Also, please just hit subscribe. We want to make sure you get all the latest episodes. And if you want to find out more about any of the topics we covered today or what's coming up next, just go to VentureFew on LinkedIn. That is our hub. That's where we spend most of our time sharing what we're seeing out there and always looking to connect with folks. You can either go to @VentureFew on LinkedIn or @FredSchonenberg on LinkedIn. So look forward to it. Hope you all enjoy the holidays, the summertime, and until next time.